Cristiano, Sego, Sigoli, Ani, and welcome to Compelling Conversations. I'm your host, David Moses. You're listening to CKRZ 100.3 FM, the voice of the Grand. Oneganos is an indigenous water research program led by McMaster University professor Dr. Don Martin Hill. Oneganos is a research project utilizing indigenous ecological knowledge, training, and co-creation of mixed method tools, and uses an innovative research framework that is informed by its indigenous community partners to facilitate sharing as well as integration of Western sciences and indigenous local knowledges. The purpose of the research is to investigate indigenous water insecurity, focusing on two communities, Six Nations of the Grand River, as well as the Lubicon Lake Band of Little Buffalo in northern Alberta. Now, both communities suffer from generations of limited access to clean drinking water and are worried about the level of pollution in the water and ecosystems that their communities rely on. Well, on Tuesday, May 23rd, Professor Don Hill made a presentation to the Six Nations Elected Council regarding its findings and process through co-creation and Oneganos on the aquifer of Six Nations, considering that there are coming environmental stressors. Co-creation and Oneganos have received many awards for their work, including from the David Suzuki Foundation and Princeton University. The following is Professor Don Hill's introduction to council at Tuesday's general council meeting from the Ethics Committee and her amended ethics application, which is entitled Co-Creation Phase 2.
So I've just asked Hillary to send over the PDF file. So what this is I asked her to put a binder together to give to council of all the publications that our team has done in the last 4 years, and it came out to 370 pages, which actually shocked me a little bit. But we've been really productive, both in scholarly, peer-reviewed scientific journal publications, as well as in community updates and reports. So our latest community update and report is we have overall developed the template with Chris Martin as a lead mapper and Rudo Kemper from Digital Democracies to develop our map of Six Nations. We have been uploading water quality data. We've uploaded our findings. Mark Servos just finished his watershed study, which I'll touch on. But all of the data that we're collecting will be accessible in this open access platform of Terra Story mapping. We've also uploaded stories such as The Peacemaker. We've had Norma General and Jock and a few others interviewing them. And as they're telling the story about the Peacemaker's journey around the Great Lakes, we are documenting the sites that he stopped on to match the stories, just to give, you know, the public a sense of how long our people have been in this territory, because I know that's up for debate. So we're just also documenting through my PhD student, Emily Anson, who's also the archaeology officer for this region in Hamilton. She's documenting all of the archaeological sites that have Haudenosaunee and our use of water and our villages along the water. So the mapping is really what the tool that we said we would create so that people can learn about not only the water quality, but how important water was, what kind of fishes we had, what we lived on, our subsistence. And one of the projects we did with Nick Rio from Dartmouth was we looked at how to improve our source water, even with the treatment plant, is the Grand River. So the community folks said they wanted to see some of the dams come down that are no longer in use. We looked at how would we do that? And what we found was there's over 100 dams, which is insane amount of dams for any river system as small as the Grand River. So we started looking at, well, which dams could we begin to try to decommission? And some of the most problematic would be the one in Maitland. So I've had the engineers look at it. It's really frustrating because the sensor data we collected from the U.S. fisheries, where they monitor the fish, you can literally see the fish every year try to swim to us, and a lot of them die along this dam in Port Maitland. And so now what do? They have recreational guys fishing there because like the fish are going to be there trying to come to us. So we're just trying to put together the holistic impact of our waters on our culture, on our health, on our economy, on our well-being. And so we're almost done. The end of this project, Oneganos, as you know it, is going to be this August. So we have put in a number of grants with large senior researchers, and we didn't get three of them. I've put in two more with some UN folks and UNESCO folks. Hopefully those come through. So one of the things I'll be asking is, I know that Six Nations had agreed to contribute funds to Oneganos. We have not collected on those funds in a couple of years. And we're hoping that some of those funds could be forthcoming. The other thing that our project does is we work with the STEAM Academy. We work with Guaywinio, and now we're trying to expand to the Haldimand area. But right now we have been giving out certificates of completion for students who work on collecting data for our mapping, for our water quality. Our engineers and our biologists train them. They've been out in the water with them. Then they do a project for us. We upload that information to our mapping sites, and they get a certificate. And we're trying to get three certificates to the students, and that three certificates will lead to one university credit. So we're working on that. We're still going after Blue Triton. It is against the law what they're doing. They have taken and continue to extract more than 3.6 million liters since Ford Power. If we lose our aquifer, you're going to see what's happening in Alberta happen to our Carolinian forest. If we continue to let them take our aquifer, it's going to deplete all of the maple trees. We won't be able to collect maple because you're drying out the veins of our earth. You're drying her out. And what will happen is the land will sink because there's no more mass. And then we will be without clean water, as we already are, because we're not maximizing our own use of the aquifer. So we're trying to get community awareness about how important it is to save our aquifer. So this was us looking at the dams on the Grand River. The virtual reality's almost done. I have, as everything else, I'm running out of cash. But we've been getting a lot of rave reviews for the Sky World piece that's complete. It is an exhibit at Mohawk College in their digital lab. And apparently it's one of the more popular exhibits that they have. There's a continuing ask to see it because they have some really cool screens that are light, as big as the room. On our mental health advocacy, we're still in talks to develop the app. We've done all the data research on what youth would want, what they need. We've published those in scientific journals, and now it's just getting funding to actually develop the app what I'm working with an agency to help us do that. We do have our sensor. So Emil is working on, it's about $1,000 to use the sensor. And the goal is to get it even cheaper so that people can afford it. COVID really, really hurt the sensors because they couldn't come in the community. They lost the PhD students to do the legwork. Because of COVID, some of them had to return home, et cetera. So we're putting in grants to continue to try to get our sensors along the Grand River. All of our health data is in now. The birthing center with my PhD student from anthropology did a survey with 50 moms and grandmothers, a couple of grandmothers, to look at what is the impact on new mothers and water insecurity. We also did our HY survey with Six Nations Health Services, and you can see the data here. And the reason why the HYs is important, it may not seem important, but we want to standardize the health data that's happening at Six Nations. As we reviewed all of the data, we found there was no rhyme or reason to the data. If I wanted to look at what are the long-term health of our community, and can we correlate any of those to the environment, we can't do that because the data has been driven by Indian Affairs or Health Canada, and it makes no sense. So standardizing data is what every First Nation's trying to do so they can get a handle on evaluating whether programs and services are actually working. We use the HYs, which is a United Nations, UNESCO metric of water insecurity impact on health. That study, that particular metric has never been used in Canada or the United States, or what they would call in a first world country. They've only used it in India, Africa, Malaysia, etc. We incorporated the HY scale into our health survey so that we could get a standardization, but also so we could compare how is Six Nations compared to, let's say, Kenya or a village in India. And it's actually, from what we're just now looking at, not that different. What we do have is high levels of anxiety and mental health stressors, particularly on young moms. So providing services, particularly to what we call vulnerable populations, to help them access clean water would be a recommendation that we're putting forward, because it's causing them a great deal of distress and it's making them sick. They're literally not drinking water. They're dehydrating because they run out of water as nursing moms, or they're drinking sugared drinks because they don't have enough water. So hopefully data and it goes into health, and then we can create some policies that will definitely help alleviate some of the economic and mental health burdens that water insecurity is having on particularly this targeted community of new moms and young people. We've also won awards. Three of the awards we have is from a tier one university. Canada doesn't even have a tier one research university. U of T is about the closest to being one. So to get one from a tier one is like a big deal in the academic world or science world. So we did receive that. The podcast, 30 episodes. We won the David Suzuki People's Choice Award, and we won an award to publish a book through Princeton University in a global scale. Every academic dreams of having Princeton publish their work, because that puts you on a very high level of scholarly scientific efficacy. It means you're good, because they don't publish people who aren't in this environment, and they've given us a grant. So we've been working on that. We have funded all of these undergraduate students, many of them from Six Nations, many from the local areas and communities. All of the funding that we get, most of it has to fund students. That's just how research grants work. PhDs and MAs are about 25, which is pretty stellar for any research project to have so many successful PhDs and so on. And then we have our community partners, which we listed. We've had many people from the community help Enigonos produce material for Enigonos. So we really have over 200 contacts and stakeholders that we've worked with on some aspect. We are finishing the modeling. We're just publishing the new one. And because it's not out, I didn't put it in the binder. But it's just, again, trying to give Six Nations Council some recommendations for how to prepare, particularly in the health field, which will be really important because of the coming climate stressors that we'll be facing. And if we lose our aquifer, it could be tenfold from what we're predicting here. We're not predicting the loss of our aquifer in these particular models. We're assuming that that's somewhat intact. And then our publications. So we've published in books, global books, United Nations, supported books, and we've also published in a number of scientific journals. So we've done really good, and including Vogue reached out to Makasha through the Takala series, and they're publishing not only the articles that they did, but they're also publishing the book. And then also the work was picked up by China. So we really are, we're surprised at how successful it is. The Mackenzie Creek watershed, led by Mark Servos, he worked closely with Lauren, is finished. So doing the eDNA studies, they actually were stunned to find out 39 different fish species were found in our watershed. And then obviously looking at some of the data on how healthy those fish are is the next phase of that. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. But we are currently trying to finish up our work and then look at what our next steps are to keep going. COVID did adversely affect our research, like it did many things. The fact that we survived and continued to find pivot and find ways to work around, but some things are really needed, like the sensors. Like, we would really like to see those in operation and uploaded to our digital map. I think that's it. The Royal Society of the UK Embassy got a hold of me the other day and said, we would like to come and speak with you about Onigenos and to see your virtual reality, because we're looking into this. This Royal Society is the oldest scientific academy in the world. They funded Darwin. It tells you how old they are. And they also funded Stephen Hawking. So the fact that they're coming to talk to us is kind of, well, universities are losing their minds. So these are all good supports for us to try to get more funding, when we can say these folks are awarding us or giving us, it's how it works in the research world. And I'm probably leaving out a thousand things, but we don't have all night.
And once again, that was Professor Dawn Hill making her presentation to the elected council on Tuesday night at their general council meeting. You can hear and see the entire presentation by going to the Six Nations Elected Council Facebook page. You can also see the tools and other resource materials that Professor Dawn Hill spoke about by going to the Onigenos website. For CKRZFM, I'm David Moses, and you have been listening to Compelling Conversations right here on The Voice of the Grand. Until next time, I say Ona and Bumapee.